Grace. That's Sunday, August 22nd. Tickets and info at cardinals.com/promotions.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
States military, and we fully intend to successfully evacuate all American citizens who want to get out of Afghanistan.
Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, as thousands of Americans are trying to leave and encountering a security situation that the State Department calls extremely dangerous. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the airport in Kabul is secure.
In concert with forces from our allies, our troops have set up defensive positions around the airport, and the airport is able to function safely.
But there are reports that the Taliban is turning civilians away at checkpoints despite their assurances they would allow Afghans to leave. Another 2,000 people have been evacuated in the past 24 hours, but there are thousands more that are waiting to be airlifted out. President Biden taking a hard line against governors who, as he put it, are making masking kids as they head back to school a political issue.
I'm directing the Secretary of Education, an educator himself, to take additional steps to protect our children. This includes using all of his oversight authorities and legal action, if appropriate, against governors who are trying to block and intimidate local school officials and educators.
The president also announcing all nursing home staff must be vaccinated as a condition of federal funding. Earlier today, federal health officials recommended a COVID booster shot for people who received either the two-dose Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. The National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Henri is located about 235 miles southwest of Bermuda, packing maximum sustained winds of 70 miles per hour. It's expected to become a hurricane on Friday. Meanwhile, Hurricane Grace is taking aim at Mexico's Caribbean coast. Wall Street, the Dow down 382, the NASDAQ off 130. The S&P lost 47 points, breaking a five-day winning streak. America is listening to Fox News.
According to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. So, 82% of you listening will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. 82% of you will note that if you're hiring, ZipRecruiter finds qualified people for your job. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And 82% of you will remember that you can try ZipRecruiter for free. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Yes, free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans watch Newsmax. It's the fourth highest rated cable news channel, and it's available on all major cable systems. Or find it on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. And it's free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, and TiVo. Or download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. Watch it anytime, anywhere. Forbes described Newsmax as a news powerhouse. Millions of Americans are watching Newsmax. You should too. Tune in today.
School district finds a loophole in the standoff over mask mandates in Texas.
A school district in Texas where mask mandates are banned has found a way to get around Governor Greg Abbott's executive order by making masks officially part of their dress code. Paris Independent School District in North Texas stating the governor does not have the authority to usurp the Board of Trustees' exclusive power. The dress code to be revisited each month. The governor's threatened legal action against the issuing of mask mandates, though several judges have sided with the school districts and local governments. Lillian Wu, Fox News.
Well, Disney World is tweaking its mask policy. Starting tomorrow, the theme park in Orlando, Florida, will allow customers to choose whether they want to wear them in outdoor lines, outdoor theaters, and outdoor attractions. They had been required. Masks will still be required for people aged 2 and up at all indoor locations, such as restaurants and theaters. The housing market saw a big drop in sales last month.
Builders slowed the pace of new home construction in July. Housing starts, groundbreakings for new homes declined at a 7% annual pace. Builders have been dealing with supply and staffing issues. Economists say builders aren't ready to commit with costs for land, materials, and labor all volatile. Though compared with July of last year, the number of housing starts is still up 2.5%. And permits for new construction rose 2.6%. Assigned builders are preparing for more construction later. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
The droughts and fires in the West are threatening California's $6 billion almond industry. As water has become scarce, some farmers have stopped irrigating their orchards and plan to get rid of them years earlier than planned. That could lead to higher prices for consumers. California produces about 80% of the world's almonds. I'm Lisa LaSera, and this is Fox News.
And here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
We're going to drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible. I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
Good afternoon with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper. We kind of teased it with our guy.
Scott Frost!
They might be in a little bit of problem. They might be in some trouble here, Derek Piper. Had a great chat on Reggie Bass and the idea that he is decommitting from Illinois, his verbal from Illinois. We talked all about that in the first hour. This is weird. I just looked up on our YouTube because I can see it. Can you roll around and see this? It's frozen. And I looked up and I thought, because that's me standing. And I thought, who's standing behind me? But it's actually frozen and it's just Trevor and I. But you can't see me because I got my back to the camera. That was weird. That just threw me off. So we won't get into much with Reggie Bass. We talked 40 minutes in the first hour. So definitely podcast that at Stevie J, StevieJay.com after the show in case you missed it. But what does it mean? In your mind, the fact that Reggie Bass decommitted from Illinois, I guess, I mean, it was kind of, I don't want to say expected. I don't want to say that, but
kind of was. It kind of was for a while here. When you had Sincere Harris jump on board, it was late June, early July after he took a visit. And this is, they're similar pieces in that they're 6'4 guards. I don't care that they're both lefties, but
right.
That was to Bass competition, and look, to be honest, I mean, they would have, if they stayed in the same class, would have competed for minutes, and similar kind of players. Sincere is ranked higher. He's in the top 100. Bass is in the 175 range.
Fair enough.
And Chester really wanted to get Harris on board, saw an opportunity to get it done before July, and AAU kicked back on, and they were able to lock him up. And then Jaden Epps, who they also got on board after the first live period in July, who's high-level point guard,
top 100.
They're
right?
Both top 100 guys, okay. Harris and Epps. And after that point, it just seemed like where you're still going to go after Jaden Shute and you still are interested in nagging another guard, it just seemed inevitable that Illinois and Bass weren't going to be a pair at the end and that Bass would be looking elsewhere, and that happened last night.
Sincere Harris is one of these kids that I don't hear a lot about. Now, Jaden Epps, you were able to tell us in AAU, he like filled it up. There was a tournament you were at that he was just going crazy, going even against Reggie Bass, in fact, ironically. But Sincere Harris, I haven't heard much about how he did this summer. Do you have knowledge of kind of how he played, et cetera?
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see him. I was supposed to watch Harris and Jaden Epps at the Adidas events this past summer, but late June, Harris hurt his knee. It wasn't anything like torn ACL out for 8-12 months or anything, but he had a a minor to just kind of a knee injury that kept him out for July, okay. Not a precaution.
Fair enough.
He decided to shut it down, and I didn't get a chance to see him at all in July. I know that he played well based on like what you hear out there, sure. Or just watching some tape on him in the spring and into June, that the staff really liked what he was showing.
Okay, let's switch to football now. I've been teasing it over and over, but Nebraska in a little bit of hot water with the NCAA, and here's why. And these are bullet points that Trevor put down on our sheet. Number one, it was unauthorized group workouts at an off-campus location during COVID to avoid detection by school officials. Now, if I'm correct on this, this was before last season. So this was not, you know, this was before even last season occurred that this happened. Team analysts being improperly overly used during practices and games when they should not have been present. And among possible penalties for Nebraska that they could receive, it would be a suspension for an unknown number of games for Frost would be one of those. So I don't know. The NCAA a lot of times doesn't exactly work fast. So I don't know that we won't see our guy here in Champaign.
Well, that would be a disappointment for him.
Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't
especially if we're going to ring him up.
If he was going to be suspended for week zero here in Champaign, you don't even get to see his face.
Oh.
If and when, as you expect, oh. I think I'd do as well. Illinois to win that game.
Let's go. Yeah, I want to see a dejected Scott Frost walk off that field is what I want to see.
Scott Frost!
So here's the deal. Danny Cannell with ESPN was able to speak today kind of on this, and maybe he can give a little more light as to what's going on at Nebraska. Here's Danny Cannell.
This is trouble for Scott Frost. I mean, stating the obvious that he's got sources. The school has video that they've given to the NCAA, which clearly shows some of these workouts that were taking place. They've got video of the analyst on the field working with the players, which you're not allowed to do with an analyst role. It's supposed to be hands-off. You can analyze, but you can't coach on the field, and they have video evidence of that. I still think this does look awful. I think if you were looking for a reason to get out of Scott Frost's contract, you could do it easily right now. But I also think maybe they want to give it one more run, like kind of see what happens. Like, let's see if he can capture lightning in a bottle, if they can get 8 or 9 wins, which I think we all agree is highly unlikely. And then with a fan base that I do think is torn because they love their returned hero coming back to save the program. And there's a faction of it's like, let's just stick with him. He's our guy. But I think there's also starting to be a growing faction that's looking at saying this isn't working. And I think the people that are writing the checks, the people that matter, are probably looking at alternative options. And one way to get out of this contract would be this investigation.
I like Danny Cannell a lot, and he really explained that well. And the one thing he said is that maybe, you know, they want to have a reason to keep Frost because he's their guy. But do you really think that? Don't you think? I mean, who did you get rid of that was winning 8 or 9 games a year?
It was Bo Pelini.
Bo Pelini.
So there was Mike Riley in the middle of that.
Oh, that's right. He was horrible.
He was not very good.
Came from Oregon State.
Had 1 9-win season, but other than that, it was nothing to write home about. But Bo Pelini was there for a number of years, 7, 8, won no fewer, I think that's right, no less, no fewer.
Yeah, well, we
nothing
get it.
Less than 9 games a year.
That's incredible.
Him. It was 9 or 10 games a year.
Incredible.
As far as wins.
And they got rid of him.
They got rid of him.
I mean, that is an arrogance on a program that deserved to have that arrogance. I'm not going to lie to you. Because the Nebraska I watched growing up, they had that arrogance, and they deservedly had that arrogance because they won at a high level.
Yep.
And then Bo Pelini is winning 8 or 9. Now, he was a you-know-what show off the field.
He was.
I mean, he was a train wreck sometimes off the field, and I think a lot of people at Nebraska were starting to get nervous about that and thought, okay, we've had a run with Bo. Let's move on. After that, it's been horrible. And then Scott Frost comes, a guy that won his imagined national title down at UCF, and he's come along, and it just has not worked.
No, it definitely hasn't. And this, to Danny Cannell's point about this could be used as cause to get rid of him and to pivot off of him. And look, this is just my take, but knowing kind of how college basketball works, when you have restrictions on how many guys are supposed to be on the floor instructing and coaching,
right.
Some of that is nitpicky.
Yeah.
Like some
That's
of this,
fair.
The analysts being overly involved in practice, like some of that is really really nitpicky, and maybe it was a situation. I'm not saying this is Greg Gard where it's purposely leaked out to make him look bad.
Right.
But I think in that sense, it's not anything that he's going to get hammered over. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't imagine. Now, working out during COVID when the Big Ten is saying, I don't know the exact dates. Is it in August when the Big Ten says, hey, we're going to not have a season or we're going to be on hold or whatever? And Nebraska clearly was trying to play football and they were trying to get ready to play football. Like, that is more serious, I think, when other programs weren't afforded the options that, hey, you cannot have any organized workouts, and Nebraska is going out of their way to purposely not be seen by other people at the university to do it.
Right.
Like, that's a bigger violation.
It's not like you're out in Memorial Stadium, Lincoln Memorial Stadium, just running practice, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're not supposed to be doing this?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're purposefully hiding.
Definitely. So
knowing, which tells everybody out there that I know that we're doing wrong here, but we're still going to do it.
Yeah, and they were having extra workouts to then go 3-5.
Yeah.
And in Nebraska, we had this conversation when we were talking about season win totals, and they're at 6.5.
Yeah.
And if they go under, does he survive?
No.
I don't think he does.
Especially with this.
Now, that could be, Scott Frost can be their guy and, you know, a Husker boy or all of that. But he is 9-17 in the Big Ten. They missed a bowl game in all 3 years that he's been there. I tried to look back, or I did look back and see, when was the last time Nebraska football missed a bowl game 3 straight years in a row? It was from 1959 to 61.
Holy cow. Wow. They just don't miss. They're not used to this.
No. And while this isn't like Tom Osborne was done and then Scott Frost came in and completely wrecked the whole thing. Like, there was a Bill Callahan stint in there that wasn't very good.
Good call.
And there was Mike Riley in there. But they're not down with, let's win 3, 4, or 5 games. Let's have our win total at 6.5. Like, they're offended by that.
No doubt.
And there's clearly other stuff going on. Like, Wandale Robinson, their best weapon, leaves Nebraska to go Kentucky.
Yeah.
Be like a star player at Indiana in basketball, leaving to go to Clemson.
Mm.
Like, okay, Kentucky in basketball, you lose someone to them. But in football, come on now.
That's a great point.
We're Nebraska.
That's a great point. Isn't it amazing how we have talked forever on how Illinois football, it would be great to get up to a level of a Wisconsin or an Iowa. And you look at Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez came in and turned that thing completely around. And now, with help of guys like Brett Bielema and on, Paul Chris now, but they have continued that way of winning at Wisconsin, right? To the point of every year you expect them to win 9 games. Iowa, same deal. Hayden Fry came in, took that to another level. Kirk Ferentz now has been there forever, and he has Iowa to a level of winning 9 games a year plus. You look at Nebraska with Tom Osborne, he had that level. They were playing for national, they were winning national championships. And then all of a sudden, it is slowly eroded to where they are now down here with Purdue, Minnesota, Illinois. And it's as improbable as it seems to go the other way, and that means go up to where you're all of a sudden Wisconsin or Iowa, it's almost as improbable to me to have a team like Nebraska go down that far. And it's just, it's really weird. And I think, you know, I try to put in my head here, like, D. Brown, for a long time, Illinois fans were like, let's get him as the coach. Or think of Roger Powell right now. And I'm sorry to do this to Brad Underwood. I doubt he's listening to me, but I hope Brad's here for the long haul. I'm 20 years and I'm absolutely fine. He can show heifers every year now that I know how to say that word. But here's the deal. Now picture, to no fault of Brad, picture Roger Powell. Let's say Brad Underwood goes and coaches the Sixers, which I'd be fine with as well. But all of a sudden, Roger Powell, that's your guy, takes over the program and has 4 bad years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, you understand where Nebraska fans are going, well, we like Raj. Or D. Brown would probably be more. D. Brown was kind of like Scott Frost was a Heisman winner. D. Brown would be kind of that guy. You know, that, and then all of a sudden, you're sitting there going, well, do we get rid of D. Brown? Like, I mean, so I understand how this is a tough decision if you're Nebraska, but it's like, if you go 5-7, this year and a fourth straight year without making a bowl. Now, obviously, it took a little bit to rebound from Mike Riley, who was horrible. Oregon State has never been the same since him either. But essentially, if you kind of 4 years without a bowl, and now all of a sudden you got this going on, you got guys leaving, as you pointed out. I don't know. If I'm a Nebraska faithful, listen, Scott, we love you. You're always going to be one of our favorite guys, but you're not going to be our coach anymore. That's kind of the way I'd look at it.
That's a good point. And you do frame that well as far as the D. Brown dynamic or Roger. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely interesting to think about. But the bottom line is teams in the Big Ten that have been to a bowl more recently than Nebraska, Illinois, Minnesota, Indiana, Purdue. Like, these are teams that when Nebraska entered the Big Ten thought they were going to just stomp all over
every year.
At the very top with Ohio State and Michigan and Wisconsin.
Great call.
And they're not there.
No.
You mentioned Tom Osborne, and I knew that they were great back then. I was just blown away when I was doing the bowl research of when they missed three in a row to see the bowls that he made like consistently. Can you humor me and let me read off Tom Osborne's bowl history? From when he took over in 73 on. Cotton Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, throw in the Blue Bonnet Bowl. I don't know what that bowl is.
How dare him.
Liberty Bowl, Orange Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Sun Bowl, Orange Bowl. Orange Bowl, Orange Bowl.
Wow.
Sugar Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Orange Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Citrus Bowl. Four Orange Bowls in a row.
Wow.
A year off with the Fiesta Bowl. 2 years back to the Orange Bowl. Like, that's how he finished his career.
Incredible.
That's Nebraska football.
Yeah. How many national titles? Three? Am I right when I say that? Three? Somebody did mention Frank Solich. Anthony said, don't forget they should have never sent Solich packing. He was 58 and 19 in 6 years, 3-3 in bowl games. I forgot about Frank Solich. But I just hadn't thought of that name as we were talking about Nebraska football. But, yeah, I'm almost thinking that Tom Osborne won. Maybe I'm totally wrong on that, but I was thinking he won like three national titles with Nebraska, but I could be wrong.
I see in 94 and 95, they were the postseason number one in the AP.
Okay.
Because you didn't have
you didn't have that, right. They were kind of the unwritten national title, or however you want to say
it. Championship game. You had the bowl, and then whoever was ranked number one.
Right.
The champion.
That's amazing. Scott, this is desperation on his part. Doing stuff like this. Somebody asked again, how did the NCAA get the video on Nebraska illegally practicing? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, great point.
I don't know if Nebraska videoed it. I mean, most teams video so that they can, so that they can go back. So I guess if they thought, nobody knows we're here, we'll go ahead and video it too and keep that under wraps. So now, that's your smoking gun, and that's not good news for Scott, but I don't know. I mean, this screams desperation to me from Scott Frost in the sense that it's not working. He knows it's not working, and now he knows that he's going to be not long for Nebraska as a college football coach.
Yeah, and it was desperation before last year, and they were bad last year. The quarterback play was atrocious, especially with Luke McCaffrey. And now you're going into a season where, again, you're without Wando Robinson. Your win total is middling, like you're supposed to be a 500 team. And this is an Illinois squad that expects to beat you, really. I mean, honestly, when you hammer them like that in Lincoln and then you got them at your place with fans in there, you expect to beat that team.
What are the odds? Isn't Nebraska favored?
Favored by a touchdown?
By a touchdown. That seems strange to me. But it is. I mean, that's what it is. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, this is one of those situations where certainly Nebraska, they're not used to this kind of stuff. They're not used to losing. How many does that stadium hold, Memorial Stadium? How many do they get a game? It's over 100.
It's up there.
I mean, it's
up there.
That is, there's no professional teams in Nebraska. This is their life. I mean, this is what they do in Nebraska, and they are staunch supporters of that football program.
90,000?
Oh, is it only 90?
The record is 91 and a half.
Okay. But I think
isn't it always funny you list the capacity, and then the record capacity is more than it was? Like, just packed them in the corner.
Yeah, just let a guy walk in. Just you stand over there. I think does it say, can you Google one more thing, consecutive sellouts for Nebraska football? I want to say it's over 200. Can you imagine that? It was funny when you said, by the way, you were going through
Osborne's bowl history.
No, before that, and you said, and he only won nine games one time. Yeah, and I was like, well, wait a minute. I'd love to win nine games one time.
Well, he never won. Riley.
It was Mike Riley won nine games. Yeah, that was
Bellini
it.
Never lost or never won fewer than nine games.
That's incredible.
375 consecutive sellouts at Memorial Stadium in Nebraska.
Oh, wow. Can you imagine that?
The longest streak in any collegiate sport.
375 sellouts. And they're still doing it right now, but boy, that's got to be. You don't think those fans are getting itchy? They haven't made a bowl game in 3 years, and they're still selling out 92,000 or 90,000.
Here's a story. Same Google search. So a story from a couple weeks ago. Nebraska's historic sellout streak in jeopardy.
Oh boy.
It's turned there already.
Yeah, and it's weird.
Win time for him already.
Yeah. And like I said, again, as hard as it seems for me to sit here as an Illinois fan, and if you told me in 15 years, Illinois is the next Wisconsin, and I'm not even saying Ohio State or Michigan, you know, to what they've done. I'm talking an Iowa, Wisconsin that wins eight games a year, and every year you're going to a good bowl game. Every year you're threatening for the Big Ten West championship. If you told me in 15 years, Lon, at 65, when you retire, you're going to go to Illinois games and that football program is going to win eight or nine a year. That seems as improbable to me as if you would have told me 10 or 15 years ago that Nebraska would be down to where they don't even go to bowl games. It does. It's amazing to me. I've said this before. I don't know how old I was. It seems like I was in maybe college. And we could Google it, I know, but Illinois played Nebraska here in Champaign, and I went to that game, and just seeing them come. Now, they were part of the Big 12 then, or what was it then? Was this Big 12? Was it the
Big 8?
Big 8, maybe? I don't even know what it was then. To see that team come out on that field, and then they went on to crush Illinois, and I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, that's the Nebraska that I remember in my mind, and not the one that's going to come to Memorial Stadium in a couple of weeks and hopefully get drilled.
Week and a half.
Week and a half.
Scott Frost!
Okay, we talked all about him.
10 days.
Is that right?
It's the 18th.
Dan just said that's over 60 years of sellouts.
It's incredible.
Think about that. That's a great point, Dan. Thank you. 60 years of football sellout. Now, again, they don't have professional sports.
Still.
Their basketball program has been horrible forever, 90,000. Minus 1 year of Eric Piakowski. Lighten it up. But, you know, I mean, that's incredible. That's just, they want to win, and they're not winning. And that makes me think that with this, on top of everything with Scott Frost, and like Danny Cannell said, unless they win nine games this year, they're not winning nine games. And he said that, which is highly unlikely. I think Frost is gone. I really do. I think after this year, he's gone, and I hope Illinois. I don't want somebody to get fired. I'm not saying that. He'll land on his feet somewhere. But I think if Illinois wins that first game, I'm telling you, this game, you talk about how big this game is for Illinois. How big do you think it is for Nebraska?
Man.
I mean, you could go into that parallel universe and talk about how it could be more. I don't know. Is it more important for Nebraska?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You answered it. Yeah. I don't know why I gave it thought.
I know we're thinking in the context of Illinois with these super seniors with a redo. And
fair enough.
A nice opportunity for Brett Bielema in year one. This is do or die for Scott Frost.
You said it. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, this game for two fan bases is gigantic. And it's funny to think that. Two teams, one predicted to win six, the other predicted maybe to win four, and I'm sitting here thinking it's the national title game on August 28th, because that's the importance that I think both of these programs' fan bases are going into this with. Probably, obviously, not probably, you said it, more so with Nebraska, but I think there's a lot of Illinois fans. I've had plenty of Illinois fans say, I need a win against Nebraska, and I think it would be huge. All right, we got to take a break. Good stuff there. We'll come back, maybe talk baseball?
We can.
Okay. That was like me going, Dad, can we go to McDonald's? We can, I guess, yeah.
We can make a parlay.
Mom's not going to be home. I'm not cooking. Yeah, we'll run up there. That's fine. All right, go get your shoes on. It is the drive. Yeah, parlay's fine. At forward from Rastavi, Georgia, number 15, Georgie B.
Hey, it's me, Georgie B. My last 3 years in Champaign have been amazing, amazing, amazing. But the fun doesn't have to stop. Get down to Game Day Spirit to find the exclusive Georgie B t-shirt collection. You will be glad you did. It's always a great day to have a great day at Game Day Spirit, baby. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Yes, sir.
Why is Jet's Pizza different? It's a Detroit-style pizza dough made fresh daily. It's her fresh hand-grated mozzarella cheese straight off the mozzarella cheese blocks. It's her incredible sauces and spices and the taste and aroma of Jet's Pizza. If you want flash frozen cheese off the trucks, call the other guys. Jet's Pizza, handmade fresh and delicious every time. Jet's Pizza. Discover the difference. Round Barn Center and Green and Neal in Champaign or jetspizza.com.
If you're in the market for a new car battery, you could go to one of those big box stores, except there's no guarantee you'll be served by an actual car expert.
Clean up in aisle three.
You could pick a battery off the shelf, except it might be close to expiring. Or you could just come into Interstate. Don't make a big box store blunder. With competitive prices and a more personal, reliable approach, Interstate Batteries is the clear-cut choice if you want to guarantee yourself a new and trustworthy car battery. They're open and ready to serve you at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign.
Fighting Illini football is right around the corner. Get down to the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit, to gear up for your return to Memorial Stadium this fall. With their great selection of football designs and tailgate necessities, Game Day Spirit is the one-stop shop for Illinois football fans. Visit one of their convenient locations at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Even on the most perfect day, the unexpected can happen.
Watch out for the garage
door.
But with just one call to Banco Overhead Door, your problems will be a thing of the past. Trust their licensed professionals to fix your garage door right the first time. Reach out to 217-590-4085. Find out more at BancoDoor.com. That's BancoDoor.com. Banco Overhead Door, getting both you and your garage door back on track.
Hi, we're your Prairie Gardens plant experts.
We're often asked how to fertilize containers in outdoor garden beds.
Let's talk about containers first. We have time-release fertilizer that you can incorporate into the soil while you're planting. And then you could also supplement with water-soluble fertilizers, usually about every 2 weeks.
In flower beds, I like to approach that differently. I'd like to incorporate compost into the soil, and it's a very gentle fertilizer. Come to Prairie Gardens, located at Springfield and Duncan in Champaign.
Hi, I'm Habib Habib. We're back with John Maxwell's Live to Lead this year at the iHotel. Go to HabibHabib.com and buy your tickets. Let's get inspired and shake off the cobwebs from our brains after a very tough year. We will be in the new large conference room at the iHotel Friday, October 8th. Go to HabibHabib.com and buy tickets for you and for your whole team. Every attendee will receive a copy of my new book that will be published this year. Buy your tickets and come and get inspired with me. HabibHabib.com.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
The Long Branch Steakhouse has been receiving rave reviews from our Stever winners. These are real comments from customers.
Our steaks were cooked perfectly, very tender and juicy. The food was incredible, delicious with every bite.
The service was top-notch. The owner personally welcomed us and checked to make sure that everything was perfect throughout the meal.
The wait staff were friendly and prompt, and the filet I ordered was to die for. The best I've ever had.
Experience the Long Branch for yourself on Main Street in beautiful downtown Gifford.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Need a little good news in your life? State Farm has new lower car insurance rates in Illinois, so you can now get the service and convenience of State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow at an even better price. That's right. State Farm can help you save more cash and get the good neighbor service you deserve. It's the real deal for car insurance. State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is ready to help you save in Champaign-Urbana. Call Kurt today at 352-1411. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, Ellen Hook here, owner of your local Ashley Home Store. Ashley Home Store's summer mattress closeout sale ends soon. For one final week, pay 0% interest for 60 months on select Tempur-Pedic and Beautyrest black mattresses, starting at just $29 per month. Plus, receive up to a $200 MasterCard rewards card, or get up to $300 in Ashley cash. These summer mattress closeout deals end Monday. Hurry in or visit ashleyhomestore.com to shop and save today. Ashley Home Store, this is home.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, ask and you shall receive. Marcus said, when's the last time Illinois sold out a football season? Was that 07 or 84? It was not 07. You dug. You and I both dug.
We did.
Now, you said they sold out how many games in 07?
Three.
Okay. Three games.
Penn State, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Okay. Now, oh, by the way, Dan said, actually, it might be more like 45 years, but I'm skipping here. I apologize to everybody. I'm back to Nebraska. In the article, it says 1962 was the first year that Nebraska sold. In other words, since 1962, they have sold out. That's 60.
It's almost 60
almost
years.
Almost 60 years, 59 years. Man. Okay, so Illinois football attendance back in 82, they averaged 70,785 fans a game. And then in 83, it was 73,871. And in 84, that's the biggest average home crowd, 76,399 a game.
Wow.
To go to Illinois. In 2017, for reference sake, they averaged 39,000. And I can promise you those 76,399 were actually in their seat. That was such a fun time for me back then. I was 12, 13, 14, Mike White era. Now, in 83, in terms of total sales, but they played one more home game, mind you. The total sales in 83 was 837,666. And in 84, where they averaged actually more per game, they had 812,000. But you said you thought 82, 3, 4, and 5, no, 83, 4, 5, and 6, there were sellouts.
86 is the last, based on my count here, they sold out six home games. I imagine that was all that they had.
Okay.
In 86, they did that in 85 as well, and also in 84. So they sold out six home games in all three of those seasons.
Wow.
And then sold out five in 83, but there might have only been five home games.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point. The highest since 2000, so if you're young, the highest since 2000 was the 08 season where they averaged 61,700 people a game. That's not that long ago.
Interestingly enough, which kind of makes sense, you have the 07 season.
Mm-hmm.
They sold out more games in 08 than they did in 07.
Yeah, because you're coming off that win.
Coming off of the Rose Bowl appearance. The first sellout in 08, oh, I remember this one, at home against Minnesota. And I think that was the same time when you had the opening practice.
Yes.
They did in the, what is that, south end zone?
Yeah, that's right.
In front
right.
of the... Now I can't talk.
Are you talking basketball?
Basketball. So yes. After the game.
You had like the Bruce... Midnight Madness or Midnight whatever that was called. You're right.
In front of the horseshoe.
Because I sit in the horseshoe, as everybody knows by now, and we had perfect seats for it. They built one of those little basketball courts, came out, scrimmaged. Midnight Madness, is that what they'd call those things?
Yeah.
Do they still do that?
It was in the afternoon.
Yeah,
And then everybody was kind of peed off because Illinois just lost to Minnesota.
It was not. And wasn't that Tim Brewster coaching Minnesota? Yeah. Former Illinois tight end. That was bad. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's kind of cool. We went and looked through that stuff and dug that up. So hopefully...
We are investigative reporters.
We are! Jordan says, I think the days of most schools selling out all their games in a big season for college football, Alabama or Clemson for sure, but it's hard to get that many people coming in this day and age of watching from the couch. I don't know. I mean, Illinois basketball sells out. And granted, it's not 60,000, but...
I imagine Ohio State football still sells out.
I guarantee you they do. Listen, if you beat Nebraska, you beat UTSA, you beat Virginia, and you beat Maryland, and you beat Purdue. So you're,
is that it?
That's it. That's all I need. Okay, let me say this. Somebody asked earlier in the show how the ticket sales are going for Nebraska. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll check with Jason Hegemeyer tomorrow and see. If you beat Nebraska, UTSA, and Virginia, I think the Friday night game against Maryland will get you over 50,000. Don't you think?
I would think so. Conflict against high school football stinks.
True. That is true.
For someone who doesn't have that conflict of interest, I'm fired up for a Friday night football game.
I know. But you're right. I think that's going to hurt a little bit. So again, okay, let me go on my little dare to dream thing. I mean, if you somehow go into what's after Purdue?
There's a home game before Wisconsin.
Oh, it's Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
So let's say you win that. You're 6-0 or whatever going into the homecoming game against Wisconsin. You'd sell that
easy
out.
Easy sellout.
Easy.
Easy.
But I get what Jordan's saying. Oh, he says, also, I'm Ben, not Jordan. Ben Wallace instead of Michael Jordan here. Hey, okay, Noah, we're going to get to you tomorrow. Noah, are you going to be mad at us?
I'm not mad at all.
Okay. We're going to get to Noah tomorrow.
Fine.
Okay, we're going to chat baseball with Noah tomorrow. I apologize, my friend. We're going to get to you. Flying home from Florida, I watched Malice in the Palace. I think I said that the other day. Speaking of Ben Wallace, have you seen it yet on Netflix?
I've not.
Very cool. I urge you to watch that. Do you even remember that, Noah? Do you remember the Malice in the Palace?
I don't think so.
Do you have Netflix?
Yes, I do.
Do me a favor tonight and watch Malice in the Palace. It's about when two or three NBA guys went into the crowd and started fighting with, and then it's amazing.
When Ron Artest got the beer thrown on him.
That's right. And they actually, in the show, talked to the dude that threw the beer.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm not going to spoil it anymore, but they basically go frame by frame on that thing. And, you know, it was Ben Wallace, it was Steven Jackson.
Reggie Miller?
No, he was even in street clothes. He was not dressed that night because he was hurt. And there's a cool story about Reggie Miller and a policeman from that night.
Jermaine O'Neal. Yep.
Jermaine O'Neal was the other guy. And it's really cool at the end of the show how they talk about Jermaine O'Neal and kind of what that meant to his career. I'm not going to say anything further, but I think you would like it. Andrew watched it, and of course, he definitely wasn't alive, whatever that year was, I don't think. And so he knew nothing of it, then watched it, really? And he's like, this was really good. So I think, Noah, you'll like it.
Wasn't it like early 2000s, like 2003, something like that?
Yeah, so you were born when?
2001. Yeah, I'm young.
Hey, Noah was born the year Illinois won a Big Ten football.
That's how long it's been.
Championship. It's been Noah's life. That's the last time we won was Noah's life. That's pretty funny. Yeah. All right, Noah, we'll catch up tomorrow.
All right.
Appreciate what he's doing here. He's going to be fun this summer to visit with. We didn't talk baseball. I'm okay with that.
Fair enough. Flaherty Freddie Peralta on the mound tonight.
Are we going to do a parlay off the air?
We should.
Boom. Let's get her done. Got to thank Jeff Schroeder, not Jeff Gordon or Matthew Schroeder. What else? That's it. That's all for today. That's all we did. Good stuff.
Thanks for something to talk about, Scott Frost.
No doubt.
I'd appreciate it.
No doubt. I got to do it one more time right before we get out of here. I mean, it's... Now I can't find it. There it is.
Scott Frost!
Boom. All right, Cardinals baseball is next. You just got the teaser. Jack Flaherty on this. First time he's pitched at Busch in, like, a long time. And the Cardinals need to win this because, as Noah pointed out, San Diego keeps losing, and Cincinnati keeps losing, of course, to the Cubbies. So, go Cards. All right, we'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Full show tomorrow and Friday, we promise. It is The Drive.